posturing a bit more of how far we can take humanity and how much we can pollute, how much we can trespass onto properties, how much we can build more dams. And I feel like we're gonna reach a limit very soon, so close by.
Yeah, it's just this need for greed and need for more consumption and all of these things that is messing up or just completely ruining our relationship with the remaining nature that we have. I wanted to talk a bit about our personal relationships with nature and, you know, if we want to change them, how it could be changed, things like that.
Yeah, I feel like, as of right now, I feel like I'm in a little virtual bubble, and an academic bubble as well. Being at university, I'm constantly going from screen to screen. I feel like when it's in the classroom, I'm watching an online lecture, going home, doing homework on a laptop, and my eyes hurt a lot and are strained a lot. And sometimes I feel like I just need to go outside and just understand where all this knowledge is coming from, that universities have taken knowledge from the earth and nature itself. And I feel like it's hard to break from daily habits of not appreciating nature more and just even spending more time outside. I'd like to do, and kind of more appreciative. I want to be more appreciative of myself as being a product of nature as well. I feel like this is kind of going stretching a little bit, but I just want to be more self-accepting of myself as well. So, but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned like spending so much time at university kind of disconnects a bit from nature, the environment. And I think it is more of an underlying problem of the way that our society is structured that keeps this disconnect there. Like, I don't know, like any major institution, you know, isn't gonna really incorporate, and I'm not sure how they would, but it's just kind of an observation, like they're not really gonna incorporate nature too much, and maybe depending on the program they might more so. But it is just, I don't know, even on like in my neighborhood or something, we have, you know, trees lining the side of the sidewalks, but it's not like we're living with nature in any way, or that we're understanding kind of even native plants and animals, like even salmon. I don't really know that much about, even though we share this environment with them.
Yeah, we live on the Pacific Northwest, but I feel like the majority of us lay people don't really know the extent of salmon other than how good it tastes. But yeah, and I feel like even with the dam from before in St. John, it's just such a far out issue. I was looking at the map and it's so far away from the lower mainland, and I just thought like, wow, that's a far away problem and they're doing it so far. And I even thought like, how does this concern me and why do I care about something that's happening so far away? And it's things like that that I feel like really disconnect us from nature and disconnect me from nature. Just seeing how problems are so far away, and the fact that, yeah, our residential streets don't have many trees. We're not too close to the ocean, nor we can see people actually going out and fishing for things. But
yeah. And it is just this mindset of, and I think it's a colonial or more Western mindset of just human superiority over other things that gives us the right to, you know, do things like mass, like for example, like the meat industry or something. Like we're just treating these other living things as a product, as opposed to, I'm pretty sure indigenous people see animals as our relatives instead of, you know, like a capital.
Yeah, as animal people, like they work together to give flesh and help them bring back to human earth. But yeah, we just eat our salmon. We don't really give our thanks or gratitude.
Exactly. And that is a problem for sure. That is part of the like reason why climate change has been advancing so much as well, I think, is because of this disconnect between nature and not listening to indigenous knowledge or things like that, because we, like, settlers are not native to this land, so we don't know what's going on as much as we should. And I think at this point there are generations of us where we should know more about our ecosystem and care more about it and our environment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're not really taught about that too much in school or by our parents.
I think even though indigenous practices and their history are stressed in BC schools, I grew up in Coquitlam, which derives from an indigenous name, and so we learned a lot about indigenous history and had classes on it. But I still feel like the only thing I really took from that was residential schools, and not really much about their actual day-to-day lives and their spiritual practices. With salmon, for example, like, I had no idea that there were animal people or mm-hmm. how much connection they have with spiritual beings.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we should take any of this, but I'm saying, like, we can definitely learn from this and apply this to policies and other things like that. Because I think indigenous people are even better than, like, Western scientists at, you know, providing, like, counters to harmful practices or just any kind of information on what we should be doing to prevent further damage to the ecosystem or the climate or things like that, because they just, you know, they know. And science can only really go so far when you don't have that depth of, like, generational knowledge, I feel like.
Yeah, that's been passed down for a mm-hmm. long time. Yeah, and I wouldn't say that, yeah, it wouldn't be, like, a single action that they do to help preserve the salmon or help preserve the environment, but it's a series of factors and practices and efforts and things like, I think empathy and having a spiritual connection mm-hmm. with their surroundings also really helps if collectively they do it all together.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, a way of life, because they've lived in harmony with nature for so long before we came here.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of apply it to our societies. Though, yeah, I know you mentioned overconsumption and things like that, because mm-hmm. I certainly don't feel connected when I get an Amazon package or something like that, you know. And I think we all need to take a page out of their book for their practices.
Because indigenous people are, like, at the forefront of environmental conservation, there we go, nice. And protesting. And there is this awful statistic, I'm just going to say, but according to Global Witness, 177 people were killed for defending the environment. And this was I think it was in 2023.
Ooh.
Or, like, it was in the past few years. And majority of those murders were in the Americas, so, like, South North America. And 34% of those people were indigenous people.
Ooh, that is, yeah, very disproportionate.
Mm-hmm. And they only make up 6% of the global population. So you can see that they are out there, like, yeah, at a disproportionate scale fighting for the environment and, you know, being punished for it as well, and they still continue to do it,
right?
Which is very admirable.
That is, yeah. I wish that we all had the same compassion for the environment, mm-hmm. like indigenous people. But yeah,
and we can definitely try to work towards that as a society. It's just we need to stop doing what we're doing right now, as well. On top of that,
I mentioned our culture in the Western world being very individualistic beforehand, and I do believe that this has a big tie with our lack of care for mm-hmm. things, issues like this, because I feel like most of us are have a lot of self-interest and self-sufficiency, and they just want to provide for them and maybe their families as well, mm-hmm. but no one outside that circle.
Yeah.
And that does contribute to our environmental issues, to the amount of salmon in our streams, and that I do believe that we're losing salmon every year as well.
Yeah. And another interesting statistic based on the fact that Indigenous people make up 6% of the global population, is that they actually care for 80% of the world's remaining biodiversity, which is such a big responsibility.
Yeah. And they found this for Canada, Brazil, and Australia, which mm-hmm. I believe have some of the largest populations of Indigenous peoples. But that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is very heroic as well.
And it's like a sustainable care as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, oh, they're doing this for the moment, but they're doing it, like, as referring back to the quote from before, as like, it's an heirloom, so they're doing it, you know, for future generations as well. That's kind of the whole idea of sustainability.
Yeah. And the fact that I feel like that's not stressed in the media as well. I don't believe I've ever heard that statistic
Mm-mm.
before, of hearing how many Indigenous people care for our biodiversity, which I feel like we need to stress more on and spreading that knowledge.
Yeah. And I think it's partially also because, you know, like, I don't know if a lot of people want to hear about environmental activism, especially done by Indigenous people, because it goes against the status quo, basically, of our society that is very, you know, focused on making money and
don't want to change.
Yeah, don't want to change our ways. So, yeah. I think...
Yeah, it's a deep topic, heavy topic.
It is a heavy topic.
There's no full solution for this. It does take every person to fix our environment and to slowly patch up our connection with Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But
there definitely the government should be doing more, and the solutions lie in listening to Indigenous people. And obviously we can't say one thing or another as like this is the end all be all, but just beginning with starting to listen to Indigenous people is, you know, very basic that we can do and that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even with things like dams, like listening to them with that, and just for example, you know,
so yeah.
Very avoidable, especially if DJ Coco was saying like they didn't even need to put that dam there, really.
Yeah, if the federal,
which is, yeah, ridiculous.
If the federal government say that it's technically not really necessary, then I think there's a little issue in that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's kind of the end of our Indigenous history / salmon history / let's save the environment speech.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed researching this.
Mm-hmm.
I really like learning about salmon. I also learned a lot about Indigenous history, and I feel like we should all take part in learning more about the 1876 Indian Act as well, because there's a lot more policies than just residential schools than we all typically think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we can end it off with a salmon taco recipe or something, but I didn't find one, but I think we'll just go to the song.
Yeah.
But
it's good to think about, not just around Truth and Reconciliation Day, but just, you know, in general when we're living our lives. Like, I definitely want to think about my environment more and connect to my own environment more just throughout my life. Mm-hmm. As well. So
me as well.
Yeah, it's just good to keep in mind always. So yeah,
so we're gonna do a couple extra songs now. So the next one is Johnny's Song by Status / Non-Status, which is by the I hopefully say this right Anishinaabe Canadian singer-songwriter Adam Sturgeon, and this is a little bit of Indigenous music. Take a listen.
And you're lost between the stories that you taught yourself to say to make it through the day, to make it go away. Hey.
toi, mais moi qui a fait exprès. Pardon, j'ai manqué l'arrêt. Ton visage est caché par la ville. Je sais, t'as mal, t'enrages, tu ne respires plus. Et j'irai voir toutes tes créations, plus croire aux grandes attractions et posséder l'offre de faire plus attention. Rattrapons le temps perdu, même si
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You're tuning into Slumber Party. Last song you just heard, DJ Star will introduce.
Yeah, so the last song that you just heard was Go No One's Watching Me featuring Olivia Dean by the Ezra Collective. They just released their new album, Dance No One's Watching, so definitely be sure to check that out. And then the song before you heard that one was Tes Veins and Canat by Kanen from her album Karen Pinette Fontaine. And then before that one was Into Sands by Lay Soul. Just a little bit of R&B for you all.
Quite and nice.
Yeah, I really like all those songs, so I hope you guys enjoyed them as well. We are coming to the end of our program, so the next one that you'll be hearing is Revolution Rock at 7 p.m.
And then Bitcoover at 8 p.m. with our music coordinator, Connor. So stick around for later on. But yeah, thank you so much for being here this week. We are here every 6-7 on Tuesdays. And wishing you a wonderful Tuesday night.
Yeah, we really appreciate you tuning into this. We will post this episode on the website along with all of our episodes that we've been posting. So yeah, see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.